The bright and colorful coral reefs are home to a wide variety of fish, but very few can be considered decent parents. The yellowhead jawfish is, however, an exception. Taking care of kids is never easy, but you try doing it without a diaper genie and, you know, hands. But this finned father has figured out a way to keep the kiddos safe and sound during life, death, and taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. And a very special thank you to our patrons, to Jesse Raspolich, Carol Raspolich, Richard Caspar, Lottie and Aubrey, Gray Hughes, and Wednesday Rabbit. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on.
And today we're talking about the Listerine dadfish. More on that later.
Is that a meme? Is Listerine dad a meme? Did I miss it?
No.
Is another cultural touchstone I don't understand.
Some sort of skibbity Listerine dad? No.
Skibbity? Is that another one? Goodness, all the memes today.
Yeah, that's like... That one is like... that. I'm losing my grip of that one. Like, I mean... That is marking the last of things I am aware of. The youngest people. That's a Gen Alpha meme.
Gen Alpha?
I do not know what it means.
I heard a commercial about someone doing carpool, and it's like they use the word W-Wiz.
Yeah. Riz.
It's W-Riz.
Yeah.
Which that's about my... I don't know what it means, but that's...
I know what that means. W is a win. So if you something is like, that's W whatever. That's like... It's good. It's a victory. It's a win.
Okay.
And then Riz is charisma.
Win charisma. Riz is charisma.
Yes. No, yeah, Riz. Charisma, yeah.
Okay, all right.
But I think there are, like, people that use Riz don't know that it's short for charisma.
Interesting.
But it's basically saying that's smooth. What you did was... smooth or very charismatic.
Win charisma. I played D&D. You can win with some charisma.
Yeah, if you're like a
bard.
Yeah.
We're not talking about any of this stuff for real, though. What are we talking about? It's almost Father's Day. By the time this comes out, it's probably close to a week to Father's Day. And so we're talking about a good father of the big blue.
If you are thinking, wow. If you're thinking, wow, they're finally doing one that's topical.
We are.
The Lord has intervened.
Don't doubt us again.
To make this. He stopped the sun to allow Joshua to win a battle. And likewise destroyed my computer, so we would have to re-record this again on a day closer to Father's Day.
No, this was completely intentional because we are good at planning.
But yeah, I'm great at planning in my job.
All right, what are we talking about, though?
The yellowhead jawfish.
I knew it. It says it right here on my notes.
It's a fish with a jaw, famously.
Yeah, something most fish, I guess, don't have. That's not true. Most fish do have it. It's called the yellowhead jawfish, but we're going to call it here extravagant jaws, yolk lore, and my personal favorite, Papa Poach. Because get it?
I like that.
Eggs. You poach them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You what? You go onto like a reserve, and you find some wild eggs, and you just shoot them with a shotgun. And then you sell the discarded shell to superstitious Chinese businessmen.
If you go to steal the eggs of a rare bird, you're an egg poacher.
Yeah, that's poaching some eggs. Like a puffin or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's multiple ways to poach an egg. I think that's what the saying. There's 100 ways to poach an egg.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have any
Would
science
you like to know
for
what
us?
Science calls this?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're in the kingdom Unoleven are in, the kingdom Animalia. They're in the phylum Unoleven are in, the kingdom the phylum Chordata.
I do love this phylum.
They're in the class Unoleven are in. If you are a fish with bones, Actinopterygii. The family is Opisthodong. Oh, the order's not listed here.
What's it's the not? Order?
No.
It's got to have an order. It's Perciformes.
Perciforms.
In form of Percy, the tank engine. All these fish look exactly like a character from Thomas.
The family is Opisthodognathidae. That could be like sign, a GN. Opisthodognathidae or Pistong.
Just ignore the G.
I don't know. Yeah, I'd have to. Oh, yeah. Opisthodognathidae. Opisthodognathidae.
I think you're safe ignoring the G, like in sign.
It sounds like an unhealthy canine if you say it with the G. The genus is Opisthodognathus. Opisthodognathus. The species is Aurifrons. Opisthodognathus aurifrons.
He done what in his nathus? Yeah.
We were just talking about cars.
Okay, so since we're in the business of naming things, it's time for my favorite part of the show, nitty-gritty nomenclature. The part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature, which we just established is Opisthodognathus aurifrons. So, does that mean A, rear jaw, golden forehead, B, bony-plated metal fins, C, large-mouthed jet stream, or D, miniature water snake? Opisthodognathus aurifrons.
Opisthodognathus aurifrons. Was one of them gold?
The first one. Rear jaw, golden forehead.
That one. Rear jaw, golden forehead, final answer.
Ding, ding, ding. That is correct. Aurium is gold.
Yeah, I thought because of the only reason I thought that was the table, the periodic table. Gold is AU.
Yeah, back in the high school days when we had a band, I wrote a song called Adfecto Aurium, which means the love of money, because I was in that phase loving 30 Seconds to Mars, which had a song called Vox Populi. And so they did a Latin song. I can make a Latin name to my song, even though it doesn't really matter. But
yeah, teenage musicians are like feeding AI like raw data, and then you spit out what you've been fed.
It was different enough to be its own. I was my own artist, okay?
No, but like everyone Dad. In my class also played guitar and wrote songs, and everyone was the same. It's just like, oh, I can tell what you're listening to these days. You like Phantom Planet. You're interested in the Beatles. Like yeah. Dashboard Confessional?
I had a Breaking Benjamin song. I had a 30 Seconds to Mars song. I had a Three Doors Down song. It was, whatever I was loving at the time, I turned that sound. I didn't copy anything, but I just turned the sound into the song. Yeah. But all for the same band, so that was not good, because it's a little disjointed. But anyway, yes, Rear Jaw, Golden Forehead is what Opisthenathus aurifrons means.
Indeed. Okay. Would you like to know what it looks like?
I would.
It's a very neon-looking fish. It's hard to tell, like, the pictures, are if all the pictures are under a black light. But it looks like it's a fish under a black light. Sometimes. The head and upper body of the yellow-headed jawfish are light, brilliant yellow in color. And it gradually fades into a pearlescent blue hue. It's a nice color fish. If you could have this in an aquarium, you'd want it. And they have a distinctive appearance with an elongated body and large mouths. They do have a bass face. If you can picture a bass, you can picture this face. The like grumpy Gus looking pug bulldog jowl face.
You know that's like a bullying term in the fish world. Bass face.
That's what it looks like. Long-bodied, yellow-faced, neon bass face. That brings us to the Beloved Measure Up segment, the official listener's favorite part of the show. Mm-hmm. The part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words Measure Up. Into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new Measure Up intro this week. We do. We do have a new Measure Up intro, remember? Because we
got
last
two.
Week.
We got robot voice last week.
I just maxed out the mic out of excitement. Yeah. Chanel, I've held true to my word. I've not listened to the second one. We are going to hear it live for the first time.
No swear words.
Again. Chanel has made clear that her favorite, or she says these are Measure Up themed. I mean, Critter Groups themed, and that is her favorite part of the show.
I wish I'd done Critter Groups.
It's a great heresy. It is a.
I think you.
It is a great heresy, but.
Whenever we do a fish, it's impossible.
Yeah. True. Well, let's hear it. Without further ado, the listener's favorite part of the show. The classic blunder. My freaking pods, my Bluetooth pods are connected. Without further ado, the real listener's favorite part of the show.
Critter Group. Wait, this isn't Critter Groups? Oh, well, that sucks. I guess just listen to this next part of the show. You could probably skip it, though. It doesn't really matter.
You can't skip it.
Justice.
You are not permitted. You are not permitted to skip it. There will be no skipping it.
There will be justice is what there is.
There wasn't even a Critter Groups. You need to listen.
It doesn't matter if
you
there's
need
a
to
Critter
listen
Groups.
To this.
All that matters is that you can skip this one.
You can't skip this one. And you need to listen to this because this is the second time we're doing this new style of Measure Up in which there is a multiple choice and we don't have to listen to as much math being done in the head. If you'd like to pause it and try to do the math yourself, you're permitted.
Thank you so much, Chanel. That was fantastic. Vindicating. I have someone on my squad.
Despite the egregious, heretical introduction there, we do appreciate having an any introduction at all, especially from Chanel, who's also sent in suggestions and other stuff. Engagement is the best.
We putting the team on her back.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about length.
Is it back or shoulders? What's you put the team on
putting
your shoulders.
Putting the team on my back. Well, that makes more sense, but the phrase is...
You put the team on your back, you put the government on your shoulders. That's what you do. Yeah, that's what I said.
That's blasphemy. But you can put stuff on your back, but if you put it on your shoulders, it's blasphemy. it was a Packer. Some Packer said that.
Well, put the team on my back.
I think. Let's talk length. The yellowhead jawfish is the same length as... Which of the following things? A. 10% of the height of a miniature donkey at the withers. At the shoulders, you could even say.
Where the government is not.
B. Well, technically...
He did ride on a donkey.
Jesus was at the withers of a donkey. And then the shoulder, the government was on his shoulders. So it's like he's kind of at the bottom of the totem pole with the government at the top.
By proxy, it was on the donkey's shoulders as well.
The donkey. B, 14 macadamia nut diameters. And C, three lemons.
Three lemons? No way. I'm going with the withers, man. The donkey withers.
The donkey withers? Final answer?
Yes.
The correct answer is A, 10% of the height of a miniature donkey. Yes. The withers. Here's a fast fact about that. Donkeys have the innate hatred, have an innate hatred for canines and serve as great farm guardians. If you're worried about foxes, wolves, or coyotes.
And you'd like them all to get kicked in the face by a donkey.
Yeah.
Innate hatred for another Built species in. That you may not even interact with in the wild. Interesting. Is it like cats and snakes? Where you can just like put something that looks like a snake on the ground next to a cat and then it'll be on the ceiling?
Apparently, apes... also have an innate, like if an ape grows up in a zoo and never has seen a snake, they're afraid of snakes.
I mean, anything that's moving, it just moves really weird. But I don't know, yeah. And especially if it's moving towards you, it's like, even if you've never seen anything that moves like that.
Why do you have such a small stature and such a large confidence? What is moving towards you?
Where is all this chutzpah coming from?
You must have venom in your veins. Let's talk their living depth. It's 3 to 40 meters. Guess where that is? That's reefs. Reef depth. That's 9.8 to 131.2 feet.
That's a deep reef.
The living depth of a yellow-headed jawfish is the same as A, the height of a giant kelp, B, the water depth at which the color yellow fades, or C, the height of 5 ponderosa lemon trees.
I don't think there's any kelp that's 130 feet tall. Lemon trees. Why lemons? Just because they're yellow?
Yeah. Yeah. Final answer?
Yes, the lemon trees.
Ponderosas. That is correct.
Yes.
The ponderosas. I forget where the color yellow fades. I think it's shallower than 40 meters. It's one of the first to go.
Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah, if you bleed at a certain depth, it's green. It looks green to you. because red is faded. It's super weird.
Creepy.
Blech.
Here's a fast fact. The Ponderosa lemon tree is a tropical citrus hybrid fruit that grows huge lemons and is famous for its purple flowers.
I like huge lemons. Actually, I don't like any other lemons. I bought a car. That was a huge lemon.
Which kind of? The Yaris?
Yeah, the Yaris. Had a bunch of electrical issues I did not know about because I'm not good at buying cars.
Are you ready for some fast facts before we get into the major fact?
Yeah.
Jawfish are native to coral reefs, like I said, in the Caribbean Sea, the Pirates of the Caribbean Sea.
Yes, only that's how you that's how you can tell. It's the shibboleth of finding out if someone is a pirate or not, whether or not they call that region the Caribbean or the Caribbean.
Yeah, it's like that that movie about the Nazis directed by what's his name when the he uses three fingers wrong and the Nazis know that he's American because he holds up three fingers wrong.
I don't know. Inglourious?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I only seen that one once. I don't remember that part, but oh,
I think they I forget which one was which.
They must do the thumb thing cuz we do
yeah, that
or the index, middle and ring.
I think I do pinky middle, ring and pinky.
Do you when if so when you say one, you start with your pinky?
No, if I'm counting up, I probably would do what you're talking about. But in the context of the movie, he's like, I'll have three beers. And in which case, if I'm just starting with three, that's what I probably would do.
Really? You do the just the last three, huh? I would I'm always I'm a good American, and so I just do the index.
I'd be okay with three beers.
I'm okay. Okay, I guess you are doing two things at the same time with that one.
And didn't Americans invent okay?
Yeah, no one was okay before Americans.
No, the phrase, the word okay, was invented in a political campaign, an American political campaign.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
People say that all over the world now, even if they're not speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the most successful
think of other languages,
word inventions in the world.
In Spanish, there's no okay. You just say good. Well.
Yeah, I mean, well, okay means both good and also yes or affirmative.
Yeah.
So you have words for these things. It's actually a useless word because you have words for it, but it's very easy to transport to other languages, apparently, because you'll hear French people using okay, Spanish people using okay, Chinese people using okay. Everybody knows it. Okay.
So I'm seeing that it stood for all correct. OLLKORRET. A playful misspelling of all correct. The first recorded use of OK was in 1839 in the Boston Morning Post. It appeared as O.K. All correct.
Like Old Lang Syne. That's unsatisfying. I prefer it to be like Grover Cleveland campaign saying, we're going to be OK. And that's the...
Yeah, okay, so... The term OK has a fascinating origin tied to presidential campaign. During Martin Van Buren's 1840 re-election campaign, his supporters adopted OK as their rallying cry. Kinderhook. Old Kinderhook. I thought it was like Knickerbocker. which was Van Buren's nickname due to his hometown of Kinderhook, New York. Opponents also used OK to mock Andrew Jackson's spelling, claiming he thought Ol Curic was a proper spelling of all correct.
You can just call me Ol Coral Springs. That's my nickname.
Anyway, the yellow-headed jawfish inhabits patches of sand and coral rubble around the edges of reefs. Since there's no hiding, since there's no natural hiding places in these open areas, jawfish dig burrows into the sand for protection. I was just thinking about how weird it is that there's a bird that digs, that lives in holes in the ground. The burrowing owl. Isn't that weird? It might be even weirder that there's a fish that does it.
Maybe.
When danger threatens, they swiftly dive into their deep burrows to seek cover. Jawfish are industrious in taking care of their homes. They meticulously gather, maintain their burrows by lining the entrance with rocky rubble to prevent cave-ins. The fish are like little architects, constantly shoveling out mouthfuls of sand to keep their homes in shape. Interestingly, they sometimes raid a neighbor's burrow for choice pebbles and shells. Their big mouths serve multiple purposes. They tell everyone secrets, but they also use them like scoops while digging their burrows. And those are the only two reasons they use them. Not eating and not a major fact. Males can also be territorial, and they may use their mouths to joust with other jawfish. Okay, that's three things.
Jawfish jousting.
Mm-hmm. Which, what was the fish we did before that does this?
The sarcastic fringehead.
That's right. Go listen to that episode if you want to hear more about mouth smacking.
I actually think it's weirder for an owl to burrow, because a fish, like if you're a small fish, there's almost nowhere you can go to get away from predators. An owl takes off into the sky, and most of its predators are not able to get to it.
I think the burrowing owl is particularly predated upon by birds of prey.
Yeah, but now you've added, you've also added like anything that can dig to that
snakes.
List. Snakes and coyotes foxes, and foxes and badgers. Dogs and badgers and cats and
voles,
whatever.
And moles.
Like, yeah, you've there's a lot of stuff on the ground that can get to you now. But where if you're a fish in the water, like, you can only go as high as the water is, and so can sharks. So, anyway.
That's true.
You ready for the major fact?
Sure am.
All right, so I'm calling this major fact. I brought you into this world, and by closing my mouth, I can take you out of it. Happy Father's Day. So the jawfish is a type of fish that is known for its unique parenting behavior, and it carries its eggs in its mouth until they hatch. Specifically, the male does. It's a mouth brooder, which I think I remember from season one of Stranger
you
Things.
You yellow-headed mouth brooder.
Lily-livered, yellow-headed mouth brooder. I mean, if you have lilies in your liver, you have... You're probably having some problems. And you're probably breathing through your mouth. So while incubating these eggs in their mouths, the jawfish will continually fan them with his pectoral fins. And this ensures a steady flow of oxygen. So there's actually a lot of different behaviors that the daddy jawfish will do. Father jawfish will do to keep the eggs properly oxygenated. So he'll fan them with his pectoral fins, and he'll also adjust the fanning based on factors that he can detect based on like water quality, temperature. He's trying to create the ideal environment for his kids. I get it, my friend. This fanning action creates this water movement around the eggs, and since, you know, using gills requires water movement, as we mentioned in our shark sucker episode, This prevents them from suffocating because there's constantly water flowing over them. This also helps to remove waste products created by the developing embryos, which keeps their environment clean. And it also, the oxygen-rich water that's constantly flowing over prevents the growth of harmful bacteria and fungi, reducing the risk of infection. So all good things about keeping water moving around your eggs. But since all the eggs are in the jawfish's mouth, he can periodically open and close it, and that will flush out the stagnant water and bring in replenished oxygenated water. But this whole time, he is staying alert because this is also a way to guard the eggs from predators that would want to come and eat them or poach them, I guess. That's what we're mentioning. He also uses tongue and throat muscles to create suction, do a little bit of that buccal pumping that fish always love to do, which also draws in fresh water to aerate the eggs. But he will always have, like I said, things like the temperature, the actual amount of oxygen in that particular area, all these things in mind, and will adjust the amount of fanning, buccal pumping, opening and closing of the mouth that he'll do to keep them perfectly oxygenated. So this varies between different jawfish species, and it also varies among their habitats. So, like I said, if they're in an area that has more oxygen in the water, you may not have to fan as much, and they won't. If there's an oxygen deprived zone, then you'll have to keep that water circulating. And then even after the embryos hatch, the father jawfish will have to continue to aerate those little guys. It's because they need even more oxygen now that they're out of the protective zone of their eggs. And the father will still continue to provide parental care, continue sheltering the young fry, that's what little fish are called, in his mouth, until they're ready to venture out on their own. So this is an underwater father of the year award, I suppose. Just, you know, bite your kids. Well, he doesn't actually bite them, but... But now I'm getting bit. Like, now the kids are biting me. That's the phase I'm in. Now I'm Daddy Pizza. I'm getting chunks taken out of my shoulder.
What the heck is that? Like, they have a game where you're pizza?
Yeah, games with toddlers are just like, okay, now you're Daddy Pizza. Yeah. Now you're Daddy Sandwich. Now you're Daddy Ice Cream. And... then they just jump on you and dig their teeth into your shoulder.
And you got to work the ribs.
Yeah, that you got to shadow box the ribs, get them all out of breath. Then you got to suplex them on the couch. That's how you do that.
Very cool.
But yeah, that is the yellowhead jawfish. Just gets in his mouth. You got anything else?
That's all I got.
All right. For you out there in Podcastia, nestle into your burrow, stay vigilant for predators, and gather your children into your mouth so they can breathe like the jawfish here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we now have a Patreon. Patrons can see full video episodes and get shoutouts on the show. But ultimately, it's a way for you to help us cover some costs and get even better. Still, reviews are the best way to help us grow. So if you haven't left one yet, we'd really love to hear from you. As always, thanks for listening and engaging.
Life, Death, and Taxonomy is my favorite in the world podcast.
Usually when you do that,
breathe,
you're like,
my air.
You're suffocating them. You need to let them be free. But in this case, they need to breathe, so.
The band.
How much air I will need to breathe.